319-0159, Landmarks Illinois National Trust for Historic Preservation et al. Appellants by Thomas Quinn v. The Rock Island County Board and the Rock Island County Public Building Commission. Appellee by William Rector.
Mr. Quinn.
May it please the Court, I'm Tom Quinn on behalf of the Plaintiff Appellants. The plaintiffs in this case agree with defendants on one thing. This case is not about the wisdom of the county's decision to demolish the historic courthouse. This case is about the laws that the General Assembly has passed that impose process requirements before the defendants can act on that decision. And those laws, as set out in our brief, are the Preservation Act and the Public Building Commission Act, which I'll refer to today as the PBC Act. And the fundamental questions before this court are whether any of those laws apply to the demolition project. And the answer is they do. Based on the Preservation Act and the PBC Act, the plaintiffs have established three grounds for relief, any one of which warrants reversal of the circuit court's dismissal order. First, the defendants concede that they cannot proceed with the demolition project without a permit from the Illinois EPA. They don't have one, and they can't get a permit until the consultation process between the EPA and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is complete. That's what the Preservation Act says. That consultation process is ongoing, has been ongoing throughout this appeal, and hasn't completed. It has not completed. This isn't in the factual record, Your Honor, but approximately 45 days ago, the Department of Natural Resources and EPA came back with a joint proposal to the defendants and to the plaintiffs as consulting parties as a way to mitigate the harm and possibly resolve this issue. The defendants rejected that proposal, the plaintiffs supported it, and the consultation process continues.
Okay, does the consultation process include mediation?
It does, but only if the EPA and IDNR can't reach agreement. The way the consultation process works is EPA and IDNR consult if there's going to be an adverse effect on a historic resource. If they can't reach an agreement through that consultation, then there's a lengthy process that includes community meetings, a mediation, and eventually a historic mediation committee that makes a recommendation. We haven't gotten there, and I'm not sure that we will, because as of 45 days ago, EPA and IDNR, which are the two parties required by law to consult, are in agreement. Whether or not that agreement holds, I don't know. But that's where we're at. And so mediation isn't required yet because the two state agencies that have a say are both.
So it only goes to the state agencies.
That's correct. That's correct. I believe that other participating parties, which include my clients as well as the defendants in this case, would be invited to participate in that mediation. But they're not statutorily obligated to do so.
Thank you.
Number two, the defendants concede that the historic courthouse is not on an existing project site that's been designated by the Rock Island PBC. They admit that. Under the PBC Act, however, in order to select a new site or enlarge an existing one, you need to get approval, either from the Rock Island City Council or from the voters of Rock Island through a referendum. They haven't done either. Number three.
They've been through the referendum process before.
They have. In 2013, the county and the PBC attempted to expand the authority of the PBC. They were unsuccessful in doing that. And that actually goes to my third point, which is the purpose of the PBC. Setting aside the site or area approval requirements, the purpose of the Rock Island PBC, as constrained by voters, is to provide for a good and sufficient jail. That's it. In 2013, they attempted to expand that purpose by seeking permission from the voters. The voters rejected it.
Well, first, their mission, so to speak, for the jail was achieved by what, a supermajority of the county board? Or how did the PBC?
That was when the...
In the 70s, when the
PBC came into existence, that was the purpose that the voters agreed to authorize.
So the voters had input in terms of circumscribing what the PBC was
all
about.
That's correct.
And you're saying it was defined as a jail.
That's right, to provide for a good and sufficient jail. Mm-hmm. And in 2013, they attempted to expand that purpose, but were unsuccessful. And In order to expand that purpose even further, to destroy a historic courthouse.
Well, they attempted to expand the purpose by referendum, did they not?
They did.
And that's where they were unsuccessful. They were successful in abrogating the referendum.
They were through
other procedures.
In a limited context, what happened was after the referendum failed, they initiated quo warranto action to find out whether or not building an annex to the jail that was physically connected was part of the PVC's authorized purpose, if that annex were going to serve as a courthouse. And the circuit court held that it did.
Why was that referendum not, I'll ask the opposing party, why was that not referendum not binding?
Well, I mean, in our view, it was, Your Honor. In our view, that they should not have been permitted to go.
End run proceedings be void ad initio?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, and I don't know.
Of course, none of this was appealed, I understand.
Right, none of it was appealed.
And it's not before us.
And it's not before you, and we don't need it to be declared ad initio to win.
Well, no, you didn't raise it anyway. Right. And time has expired to appeal that whole adjacent county proceeding.
Right. But the key thing there is what wasn't decided in that, we think that proceeding was wrongly decided. The crux of that holding was that building the annex to serve as a courthouse was an enhancement of the PVC.
But you have to live with that.
We do. But what wasn't at issue in that case was whether or not.
Were you involved in that?
No, we weren't.
Your clients?
No, they were not. But in any case, that case isn't binding because, number one, that case never involved whether or not they had site approval requirements under a different section of the PVC Act. And number two, the issue of whether or not it's the purpose of the PVC, which remains to provide for a good and sufficient jail, also includes knocking down a courthouse on a completely separate site.
Do you want to address the area issue versus site?
Sure. So as a threshold matter, I just want to point out that the defendants concede that the courthouse is not on the existing site or area. In our view, those two terms are used synonymously throughout the statute.
Well, do they concede area?
They do, Your Honor. On page 30 of their brief, they say the PVC expanded the area of its work to the courthouse, which it could do under section 14A2. And so their primary argument is based on section 14C of the PVC Act, which says that the PVC can demolish a building within the area. Well, they admit right in their brief that it's not within the area. They needed to enlarge the area to do that.
Okay, let me just ask you, I hate to bring the real world into this, but if you're gonna go out and build a new Walgreens, you go out and you tear down whatever building's there, and then you build your Walgreens. But in Rock Island, they're gonna need a new courthouse. They gotta leave the old courthouse standing until they get the new courthouse built, so they got some place to hold court. And it's virtually right next door, was it 30, 40 feet away? So doesn't make sense to, I mean, if it was almost anything except a courthouse, the building would have been destroyed and it would have built a new building on that space.
Maybe, Your Honor, but in this case, the courthouse is a historic structure as determined by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. So I think the Preservation Act still would have applied to that plan had they intended to knock down the existing courthouse. And in fact, what happened was when they submitted plans to EPA and to IDNR for the annex project, those plans envisioned keeping the historic courthouse. So in 2015, when IDNR said, fine, no adverse effect to a historic resource, they were doing that based on the representation that they weren't knocking down the historic courthouse. Now that they are, the Preservation Act comes into play. The same thing applies to the site and the area. The original plans, as we've alleged in our complaint, made clear that the project site didn't include the site that the historic courthouse was on. So they still have the problems under the PVC Act. Just briefly, I want to turn back to the Preservation Act. The purpose of the Preservation Act is to impose a procedural requirement, which is a consultation process anytime a state agency is involved in a project. And the state agency can be involved in a number of ways. Here, under the statute, the way the state agency is involved is it's issuing a permit. The defendants admit they need a permit from the EPA to proceed with the demolition process. And so what that means, and what they initially attempted to comply with, is that the project has to be submitted to IDNR. That's the process that has to be followed, and that's the process they did follow. They said they put the project to IDNR and said, okay, let's get review. Once IDNR said, hold up, we need to pursue this process, that's when they decided the law didn't apply to them. Now, in their arguments, both in the court below and here, their primary argument has been that the Preservation Act doesn't apply to a county because a county is exempted from the definition of an agency under the Administrative Procedure Act. But as the Department of Natural Resources said in their brief in support of our position, that's not the test. The fact that the county is involved isn't what triggers the Preservation Act. It's the fact that they need an EPA permit that triggers the Preservation Act. The county also argues that Section 4 of the Act doesn't apply to, it only applies to undertakings by a state agency or funded by a state agency, and the statute even extends to private undertakings. But they insist that the statute doesn't apply to an undertaking unless it is being undertaken entirely by the state agency. Well, what they can't answer is why Section 3 of the Act, Section 3F, defines undertaking to be something that's carried out pursuant to a state lease, permit, license, or other form of entitlement of approval. That statute serves no purpose if an undertaking doesn't include that.
There's a debate about the definition of an agency that's covered by the Act, right?
That's right, Your
Honor. And there's exclusions in that, right?
There are.
Okay, and so local government bodies like the counties are excluded from that specific definition, and also excluded would be the courts, right?
That's right. And what that means is that they're just simply not a state agency under the Act. So if there were, if you're doing something in your backyard and you need to get a permit from the village, the fact that you need a village permit just to, do something in your yard or do something with your house doesn't mean that the Preservation Act comes in. It's not that expansive. And what it means is that the village doesn't have an obligation to consult with the Preservation Act before they issue a permit. It only applies to state agencies. But in this case, the county is the same thing as, in the same position as any private developer. Here, the way the statute is triggered is because the Illinois EPA is involved. They need a permit from the EPA, and that's what the General Assembly intended. They didn't intend this to reach every single construction project, but they intended this to provide state leadership for any construction project that needed to involve the state through a permit, license, or other form of approval. Now I want to go to my second point, which is the PVC Act. As we briefly touched on earlier, any time that you need to select a new site, or rather a public building commission needs to select a new site, or even expand the site, they need to seek approval from the local municipality. And the way they can do that in one of two ways. First, they can receive approval for a new site from 75% of the local city council. In this case, it's Rock Island. If the project were in Moline, they would need to seek approval from 75% of Moline City Council. Now, if they can't get that, they have another way. And that other way, as provided in Section 14A2 of the statute, is to seek voter approval through a referendum. Well, they haven't done either of those things here. In their brief, they take opposing positions, as Your Honor touched on. At one point, they say that the historic courthouse is within the area of the existing project site. So just as an initial matter, that's a factual dispute. We have inserted factual allegations essentially stating that it's not in our complaint. And if the case is going to be resolved on that, it should be resolved in the circuit court following discovery. But more importantly, as I touched on earlier, they undermine that allegation when they say in their brief that the PVC enlarged the area. You can't need to enlarge the area to knock down the courthouse if the courthouse is within the area.
Council has 2 minutes.
And finally, I just want to touch on the PBC Act's purpose again. The purpose of the Rock Island PBC, as confined by voters, is to provide for a good and sufficient jail. The county's primary argument against this point is that plaintiffs, my clients, are inserting themselves and overriding legislative determination that knocking down the historic courthouse is within the PBC's purpose. Well, the county isn't entitled to make a legislative determination to that effect. By statute, the General Assembly has said that the only way a PBC's purpose can be expanded is by voters. The county doesn't have the legislative authority to do that. So their point with regard to their legislative findings is completely irrelevant.
Well, they need a jail, right?
They need a jail, but they have a jail. They have a jail, and this has nothing to do with the jail. And if they were maintaining or building the jail, we wouldn't have a claim under Section 4 of the PBC Act. But that's not what they're doing.
Do they have the authority to abate a nuisance?
You know, I think that they may, but not that authority doesn't supersede the Preservation Act and the PBC Act. And you know, to be clear, the Preservation Act would still stop the county from doing this. But the PBC Act only applies to the PBC. The reason that we're here on the PBC Act claims is because they want to use the PBC to do so. And several of our clients are bondholders who own bonds that the PBC issued for the purpose of the annex project. And when they were giving that money, they didn't envision it going to knocking down a historic structure that they value.
Well, is their argument a little more than that, that this would be more properly used and responsibly used to establish a sinking fund? The bondholders?
Yeah, that's what the bondholders would prefer. That's their legal claim that it should be put in the sinking fund.
Right.
But some bondholders are also asserting claims under the Preservation Act, so they also have an interest in preserving the historic structure. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Rector?
May it please the court, counsel, Bill Rector and Daniel Harden are here today on behalf of the Rock Island County Board. Bill Stengel is at the council table as well, appearing on behalf of the Rock Island County Building Commission. All three counts were properly dismissed by the circuit court. The first count is the State Agency Historic Preservation Act, and plaintiffs have provided no authority that the State Agency Historic Preservation Act allows for a cause of action or obligates either the county or the PBC. The statutory language does not provide for such an action. And under the authority cited at page 17 of our brief, there's no rule of construction which authorizes a court to add provisions the legislature did not include into the statute. Now, plaintiffs contend that 4C of the State Agency Historic Preservation Act means that neither a permit applicant or property owner may proceed until the consultation has occurred. But you will not find that language in the State Agency Historic Preservation Act. Indeed, as Justice Carter pointed out, the legislature expressly excluded these local governmental units from the definition of state agency. And a contrary interpretation of this act is not only inconsistent with the relevant principles of statutory construction, which we cited in our brief, but it's also inconsistent with the interpretation that has been given to a parallel statute, the National Historic Preservation Act, as that act has been interpreted by federal courts. Now, in the reply brief, plaintiffs do not address the federal authorities we cited for that proposition, for the holding that federal agencies, that only federal agencies can be sued for violating the National Historic Preservation Act. Rather, they cite some dicta from other cases they contend have interpreted the National Historic Preservation Act to allow plaintiffs to enjoin non-agency defendants. But in those cases, the agencies were defendants and the non-agencies were alleged to be acting in concert. So none of the cases cited hold that a non-federal agency standing alone can be sued as a defendant under the National Historic Preservation Act.
And we're not bound by any of those federal cases, are we?
But they're persuasive, as we argue in our brief.
Could you modify your... There seems to be an echo in your... It might be the way...
I may have it too low. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. I'm adjusting mine as well. There seems to be some feedback coming in.
Is that better, Justice?
I think it's taking it away. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, there's no statutory language in the State Agency Historic Preservation Act that provides for an obligation or a cause of action against the county or the PBC. And on that basis alone, the circuit court should be affirmed without reaching the issue of interpreting whether there's a state agency undertaking involved triggering the consultation process. Now, in the reply, the plaintiffs also contend that it should not be forgotten that their suit seeks to enjoin defendants from proceeding without a properly issued permit, and indeed, counsel today argued regarding that. But if you look at the complaint, it does not allege that a stormwater permit has been denied. And by the way, the general permit provides the applicant may proceed unless notice of incompleteness has been issued. The issue, as framed by plaintiffs pleading and in their opening brief, is whether the county and the PVC may proceed with the demolition if the agencies have not completed the consultation process. And as I just explained, we contend that this is not a claim that can be asserted against the county or the PVC under the language of the Act. And it appears that the amicus has...
So to cut to the chase, you're saying that I think their argument is that the requirement to get a state permit, in this instance the EPA permit for stormwater or whatever their engineering plan was, they say that is state action, that permitting process that puts them within the purview of, in the purview of a state actor. I mean, is that a fair summary?
Well, I understand them to be saying that triggers the consultation process.
We have
obligating state agencies under the Act, and I don't think they've really explained how or provided any authority how the county and the PBC are obligated and can be sued as a defendant under that Act. And under the federal cases, which admittedly are not binding but are persuasive, the National Historic Preservation Act has been interpreted such that there cannot be a standalone suit against a non-federal agency.
Okay.
But even if there is such a cause of action under the State Agency Historic Preservation Act, the act is still not triggered under the language of the statute because the county and the PBC's demolition of the courthouse is not a state agency undertaking under the language of the statute. We contend that what plaintiffs are trying to do is expand the statute to apply to a situation where the language doesn't cover it. They have to insert the words anytime it's related to a state agency event or involves a state agency that the statute applies. But that's not what Section 4 says. And Section 4 is what describes where the consultation process must occur. And Section 4 does not, our position is that Section 4 does not require consultation based on a submission of a notice of intent to the IEPA regarding a stormwater permit.
Well, what's the gloss on undertaking by a state agency. That's Section 4.
The county and the PBC's proposed demolition of the old courthouse is not an undertaking by a state agency.
And here, luckily the state agency wants to stop that process, right?
Well, I don't know that they... No, the state agency has not moved to stop that process. I mean,
yeah, I guess
the IEPA...
Who you call a state agency,
the IEPA, I'm sorry, but just if I can just be responsive to that, the IEPA did not deny the stormwater permit, and under the terms of the permit, if it hasn't been denied in 30 days, it may proceed. I mean, it's just an issue of how the stormwater is discharged into the Mississippi River. It's not, the undertaking is not, the demolition is not an undertaking by a state agency. And so
would they need an EPA permit if they weren't demolishing this building?
I'm not sure the answer to that. Would they need?
Yeah, the contractor apparently had to apply for the permit, if I'm recalling the facts correctly, because would not be able to engage in demolition activity but for getting that permit. I'm no engineer, but I assume that the permit is required because of a change in the site of where the courthouse is, the old courthouse is. And that has to be approved by the state.
Well, there isn't, as we argued in our brief, there isn't an approval process.
Well, there really is. I mean, you either affirmatively approve or you let it's like a pocket veto.
Well,
it sits there for 30 days and then arguably the non-action is action by the state.
Well, we cited some authority, Your Honor, in our brief, and respectfully, I disagree with the conclusion of your question. It's not an approval.
I'm asking a question. I'm not saying whether it is or isn't, but I think that's the argument against that there is, you know, it's an argument in response to your position, is all I was articulating.
Right, and our position is it is not an approval based on the authority cited in our...
Taken action, if they went up or down, rather than just sit on it, let 30 days pass, what would be the impact if they had done one thing or the other thing, allowed or denied?
Well, if they had denied, I assume there would have to be a different plan as to how the stormwater would be discharged into the various tributaries.
Or there could be a prohibition.
Well,
are they under a mandate to permit?
Whether the IEPA could prohibit the demolition of the building? I'm not aware that they could do that, no.
Well, if they have to get approval, if they never, if they don't sit on it, if they take action within the 30 days, and then follow up on Justice Holbrook's question, if they had said, no, we're not going to allow this,
On what basis? Just
to say we're not going to allow it. I mean, the reason I'm asking the question, because that goes to the authority and power of this participation, doesn't it? You say they're not involved because they didn't do anything, so there was no action taken, right? One way or
right, there was no approval.
Approval, and you're saying that shows we didn't need approval, they didn't do anything, we still went ahead, right?
I'm also saying that is one of the reasons Section 4 is not triggered. There are other reasons Section 4 is not triggered. The demolition is not a state agency undertaking. The demolition is an action that would affect the character of this building. The discharge of the stormwater is not such an action. And so a natural reading of the words of that statute is that there is no undertaking by a state agency involved here. And what Section 4 describes is a requires a consultation process among the agencies where there's funding, a permit approval of a private undertaking, which is the case here, or approval of a final design or plan. We contend that there's no approval of a final design or plan that has occurred of an undertaking by a state agency, and that this proposed demolition is not an undertaking.
My first question dealt with the impact of that statute, and following up on what Justice Obridge was talking about. If rather than sit on it, they had done something, doesn't that reflect of the authority or power of that body triggering, you know, other requirements? But to follow up on what you're talking about, now the undertaking here is by the county, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the PVC to demolish the building.
So undertaking, you know, and there's a lot of gloss about undertaking by a state agency. And here it appears that the objectors say, well, we're that body, right?
Okay.
What's their undertaking?
I don't think there is an undertaking by a state agency involved here.
I mean, how broad is the word undertaking in that, undertaking by a state agency? Because the allegation is that they fit into that. That's how this all fits together, right?
Right, and it doesn't fit in. I mean, they can't fit this narrow circumstance of a notice of intent to the IEPA regarding a stormwater permit into this language of Section 4 relating to what triggers the consultation process of state agencies. And, you know, again, even if they could, our first argument is that there is no cause of action against the county.
Can I summarize it very simply? I think maybe their argument is, and they can correct me if my summary is incorrect, is that by the permitting process, the commission, okay, you're saying the commission is the undertaking entity, correct?
I'm sorry, what?
The commission is the undertaking entity, and it's not a state agency. I think that's what your response is.
The county and the PVC.
Well, yeah, but we're really talking about PVC, on the powers of the PVC, are we not? More than, I mean, the county, either one, they're in the same entity level of government, so to speak, okay?
Okay.
Right, we can agree on that.
Well, I'm talking about the inapplicability of the language of the State Agency Preservation Act.
Correct, because it requires, it goes to a state agency, correct?
Right.
Okay. So isn't their argument really saying that the permitting process, which has to go through the state, the Illinois IEPA, has made them a de facto constructive state agency for this action of demolition? I mean, I'm just trying to simplify this. And you're saying it's not enough.
I'm saying it's not enough, that it is not a state. I'm trying to simplify
that this. They can't cloak themselves as a de facto state agency to be covered under the Act by seeking a permit.
Because the undertaking is a demolition, and this is not a state agency undertaking.
Correct.
That's the last 2 minutes.
Go next. How broad is the word undertaking in that statute? The county's doing something. Undertaking is doing something.
Right.
So the county's doing something, right? They want to do something. What's the undertaking by the other side?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're...
I mean, is undertaking very broad or is it narrow?
It's an activity that changes the allegedly historical context of the resource, and there is no undertaking by a state agency that does that here. Is what we can get.
Is the fact that they're objecting to this, is that an undertaking?
No. The fact that they are objecting, I mean, I don't know. The fact that plaintiffs are filing suit, no, I don't think that it's an undertaking. We also raised the separation of powers argument regarding this first count, but that's covered in our briefing. And, you know, if the court shouldn't have to reach that if it agrees with our other arguments on the interpretation of the State Agency Historic Preservation Act. As to count two, that dismissal should be affirmed. Plaintiffs are saying that the PVC was violated by not approving the site by the voters of Rock Island County or the council. That wasn't necessary. The PVC expressly says there's a power to demolish any building within the area. I mean, these buildings are an interconnected facility on the same ground where these facilities have been for years.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Rector.
Thank you.
Mr. Quinn, some rebuttal.
I'd like to put it to you the same question, because is that a summary of your position, this constructed de facto state agency action that empowers the act provisions for this consulting? Is that gives them coverage under the...
Our position, Your Honor, is not that the county is a state agency, okay, nor is it that our clients are, that our client's suit has somehow invoked the Preservation Act. And look, we'll concede that Section 4 is not the most artfully drafted statute, but the thing to remember here is the agency tasked with enforcing that statute, the Department of Natural Resources, supports our position. The purpose, the way the General Assembly designed this statute to preserve the state's and our community's historic resources, is anytime a state agency is involved in an undertaking, then this review and this process has to occur. And what counsel didn't answer is Section 3F of the statute defines what an undertaking is. It says that any time a project requires a state permit, that's an undertaking. And so that statute, that tells us what an undertaking is. And because the state, the EPA, needs to give them a permit, then Section 4 applies. I mean, Section 4 is supposed to apply broadly. It provides to private undertakings. So if a commercial developer wanted to knock down a historic structure and needed an EPA permit to do so, it would have to go through the same process. There's no reason the county should be exempt.
So arguably, if the county had sold the courthouse to a private developer, they would need to do the same thing.
Nothing would change. Nothing would change. And that's the distinction to Your Honor's question about isn't the county exempt under the APA. And that's right. They don't have to, for their own projects, affirmatively consult with IDNR, just like a private developer wouldn't need to either. But because they're pursuing a project that needs a state agency permit, that is how they're brought into the statute. Mr. Rector...
Is this the scheme to, and I use that not in a negative term, a scheme to broaden the preservation of historic structures in the state of Illinois?
Right. Absolutely, Your Honor. This courthouse and the building across the street are sort of evidence of this, but a lot of our historic structures in the state tend to be county and local buildings because those are the old significant structures. The purpose of this statute is to provide, I think the purpose says, to provide state government leadership in preserving historic structures in state projects and state-owned buildings and non-state-owned buildings. That's the purpose of the statute. Mr. Rector suggested that the county and the PVC have an IEPA permit, and I just want to briefly address that because Judge Broad, in his administrative order preceding this case, made the same point. IEPA's website says that you apply for a permit and it's deemed approved within 30 days, provided that IDNR has not told you that there's going to be an adverse effect on a historic resource. Well, in this case, when the county informed IDNR of the project because EPA has delegated that responsibility to the permit applicant, and IDNR told them to stop. And if there's any more question that the EPA hasn't given them a permit...
Well, when did they tell them to stop?
They told him to stop in November of 2018, and again in December of 2018, which precipitated sort of this. Judge Broad then issued an administrative order telling IDNR that they didn't have the authority to tell the county to stop. But that's when. It was within 30 days after the county filed this application of the revised plan that would then include knocking down the courthouse. But if they're asserting they've got a permit, that's a factual dispute that shouldn't be resolved here.
That's 1 minute.
Did they have the authority to say stop?
They did. IEPA did. The way the statute works, and this goes to Mr. Rector's other point, is to be fair, they don't have any affirmative obligations under the statute. The only people who by law have to consult, entities, are EPA and IDNR. But the notion that the county can just completely ignore that consultation process and plow through without an EPA permit would render the Preservation Act pointless, because what would happen if we hadn't filed this lawsuit is IEPA and IDNR would be consulting on how to mitigate the historic the adverse effect to this historic building, and they would have knocked it down months ago. So it's implied by the statute that they have to, they can't do it without a permit, and EPA can't issue a permit until the consultation process under the statute has occurred. So it's implied that they also can't knock down the building.
Because it's not expressed.
That's right. It is implied. But they also don't have a permit, and they haven't asserted that they can do this project without a permit.
I mean, normally when you interpret statutes that say a governmental body can't do something, it's usually expressed, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure, Your Honor. They've cited some federal authority, and we've cited some authority going the other way on what you could do under the National Act. I will say none of the cases that they've cited relate to a situation here. Those cases are where a private plaintiff sues both the government and the private entity wanting to do the project. None involve a case where the entity undertaking the project has completely ignored the government saying stop, and then the private plaintiff has sued them. None of those involve that situation that we have here.
Thank you both for your arguments here this morning. This matter will be taken under advisement. Written disposition will be issued, and will be, and hopefully a brief recess for a panel.